Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. What day is today? It's Father's Day. Amen. And all over this country, people are praising fathers. They're sending Father's Day cards. They're having cookouts or whatever it may be. But this is Father's Day. This morning, we gathered together in the Father's house to praise the Father. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow before you this morning, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor. We worship you this morning, Lord. We give you our full and complete, undivided attention, Lord. We come into your house to sing praises of your name and to receive teaching from your wisdom, from your word, Lord. Let everything we do this morning glorify you, honor you, and lift your name up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord spoke one word to me this morning. Loving kindness. So I go and I look that up. In the 63rd Psalm we read, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. You know, there's many times that I wish my father were still with us so I could go and seek his wisdom. Or so I could just go and spend some time with him. So many people don't take advantage of that while they have it available. He said, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. See, when David wrote this, his son Absalom had just led a revolt against him. Happy Father's Day. Rather than resisting or trying to fight, David left Jerusalem. He fled Jerusalem and he went into the wilderness. Well, in the Bible, the wilderness is always synonymous with a lot of things, isn't it? It's synonymous with persecution. It's synonymous with trial and testing and temptation and the absence of the power of God. It's synonymous with a lot of things. But in the wilderness, though, we find growth. We'll find redemption. We'll find the will of God for our lives. David says, so I looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory because your loving kindness is better than life. So we have gathered together this morning in the Father's house, in the sanctuary, to see his power and his glory. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song. One of this church's first and original songs. I'd just say this morning, if you feel like you're in the wilderness, if you feel like you're struggling, if you're in that place where it's dry and it's hard, give him your praise. Give him glory and see his power and see his glory because his loving kindness is better than life. Glory to God. Thank you, Gene. I'll tell you something else I learned from my father. I learned how to work. I learned how to do a good job and to be the kind of a person that an employer wants working for them. I learned a tremendous work ethic from my father. Something else I learned from my father is sacrifice. Being a husband and a father can require a lot of sacrifice. And Dad sacrificed a lot to provide a good home for his family. And the Father sacrificed a lot for us. Amen. He sacrificed His own Son so that we could live eternally with Him and to walk in peace, joy, confidence, provision, abundance, love, mercy, grace, sacrifice. Glory to God.
There you go. It is good. If God got praise and worship, it's going good. That was a great praise and worship song. To praise God, you sing about Him. To worship Him, you sing to Him. Never get confused about that. You have not entered into worship if you are not talking to God. Your heart must be talking to Him, or you're still just fooling around. And you're supposed to do that constantly, always, every day. You are to be in communion with God in worship, not just on Sunday. Patrick, can you bring back the words of the song, first one, the one that she wrote about this church? Now I want to speak to her just a moment and everybody else that's a little insecure and everybody else in leadership here. This woman came to the church many years ago, and how many? That's many right now. 9, I think she said. 9 or 10? Okay, well, there's a Kleenex over one. 11. Sold. The point being, she came here, and I kind of consider her to be a basket case about that time she showed up. And she got involved in the praise and worship team. And in the process of working, playing, attending, fellowshipping, she wrote this song. Now, how many of you have listened to the words of the song? What does it say? Sanctuary has its meaning. Safe, sane, face to face. Try the next one. I want you to get the key words of this song. This was out of a heart that was being restored. Gathered under the wing of the Lord. Safe from harm. Protected from evil. Protected from one that prowls the earth. Is there another one? Sanctuary here. In your presence. Now I'm bringing this up for the leadership of this church. That's what she said I longed for. To sit at your table, and she felt like that was here. Called by your name. You're still the same. Sanctuary here. Now, for anyone that has felt anything but this, we have a leadership problem. You all understand what I'm saying. It's up to the leadership to believe that when they show up here, they have sanctuary. They are not to be scolded, unless a little bit. They are not to be finger-waved. They are not to be set straight with Scripture. They are to be washed with Scripture, washed with Word, washed with love. And if they're out of order, they are to be washed with love. And if they're just plumb cantankerous, they're supposed to be washed. And if they're so hard-headed that they can't learn, they're to be washed. Is that what this song says? That no matter what, they feel safe. They don't feel like they're coming to be anything but loved. That is still, and I took that then as the theme song for this church, because I felt like it was out of a heart that wanted to pay compliments to what they were being right then and there. Is that correct? Sanity. That was a good word. Sanity. The world, the one that prowls the face of the earth, is dealing out insanity. And here, they need to be in Jesus. In sanity. In sanity, not insanity. Amen? I need to hear everybody say amen. All right. Now we got a unanimous vote. We are put here on this corner. We were saved. We were called for one purpose, and that's for that one hard-headed, cantankerous, never-listen person, because that's you. And God put some sanity in you for somebody else. I can fire them after I hire them, guys. And I can't fire them until I pay them. And I've never paid anybody to come to this church, so I can't fire them. I can't take them in the back room and chew them out. Don't hear me say that I didn't want to. My daughter sent me a message this morning that complimented me on putting up with her. I'll shorten the message. But what she said is, no matter where I was doing wrong, mistakes, she thanked me because I was always there. I don't know how many times I wanted to kill her. And God said something to me recently. I need some water. Thank you. He said something to me 100 times, and I finally heard it recently. Is that the way we should say it? He said, turn her over to Satan. Well, I'd rather kill her than do that, but that's not what the Bible says. So I and my wife agreed to turn her over to Satan. And I spent 30 years trying to get her to do right. And all it took was one agreement. And she changed. Her whole life changed. Her whole future changed. Her ministry of the church became real. The moral of that story, if you can't catch it, is that no matter who we're dealing with, don't say, I'm turning them over to Satan. That's not what you want to do. I'm just turning them loose. And this may be a pain to me, and it may be a pain to everybody. You may be a pain to everybody in the world. But God promised to turn it to good. And if I trust that, then I haven't got any right to persecute you. I don't have the right to get even. I don't have the right to set you straight. Now, as a father of the house, and I am a father of this house, I have the right to speak to you in love. Now, I can tell you about my daughter. Sometimes the neighbor 6 rows down could have heard me speaking to her in love. But after I got through blowing my top, I'd go back to her and say, sorry about that. Never mind. We have a responsibility to love. And if we blow it, then we have a responsibility to make up. You hear what I said? God sent Jesus. The very first scripture you should have learned was, for God so loved the world. You know who the world is? You don't say you're the world. But God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son for somebody that wasn't interested. You understand? They weren't interested. How many times did I look in my daughter's eyes when she wasn't interested? So ministers in the house, when people just don't want to hear what you've got to say, they're not your problem. They're the Father's problem. You are not their Father. You are one that has been sent by the Father. I'm impatient. I was talking to Michael, and he started telling me about his problems last night. And I just said, I don't want to hear it, Michael. I've heard it 100,000 times. Let me tell it to you. I'll tell you exactly how your story went. But you see, our job is to teach Michael, teach ourselves, that we don't speak the past, we speak what's going to happen. Gene can look at me and say, you know what they did to me? No, I know what I'm capable of, so I know what they're capable of. Now, what are we to do with those things? The Bible says loose them. Why? Because whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. You hear me? Whoever I loose on this earth, they're loosed in heaven. Now, do I want to hold somebody back from the heavenly things by unforgiveness or just being generally cranky? Or do I want to say, I let it go. Let it go. This isn't about me. You know, is anybody in this room secure? Are you safe? Are you sozoed? Then what are you worried? Why don't you forget about you? And why don't you begin to think about those that in your vision are not quite so sozoed? They're not so safe. How do I know that? They act insecure. They have more problems than they can explain. They're always mad at somebody. They're always upset. Most of it's about themselves. It's right here. Remember what I said when I was here before? What I see wrong in you is what's wrong in me. It'll always be that way. Whatever I'm mad at in you, I'm mad at in me. And I haven't quite got that down yet. The goal of a father. What's the goal of a father? As you can see, I'm looking at notes because I haven't got the slightest idea where I'm going. I've got one, but I'm not ready to open. What's the goal of a father? Set an example. Lead, she said, but lead by example is setting an example. Somebody is always watching. I don't care how young you are or how old you are, somebody's watching. And somebody's watching you. And they're going to want to know how you are going to react. And they're going to think of you, if you stand right up here this morning and you give the greatest word that has ever been given on the face of this earth, and it doesn't match what you've been living, It will go fall on the ground. Nobody will pay attention to it. They're going to say, he doesn't practice what he preaches. I want. See, the reason I like that song, Gene, is that's a compliment to me. Do you understand that? That's very much a compliment to me. She didn't bring it to me and say, this is for you, Stan. Wouldn't have meant as much. She played it for the public. You understand that? Some of you have known me for a long time. I've always been the most gracious, graceful guy in the world. Everybody in unison could say no. Huh? Well, you have to. But what do you want said of you? What do you want said of this church? I'm not here anymore, except on a casual visit. What do you want said of this body right here? What the world is looking for is this. Right, Gene? Sanity. We treat each other with honor. This is Father's Day. No, it isn't. It is Father's Day. I heard today it's also Surfing Day, so I want there to be a Father's Day, but I want there to be a father. I want there to be someone that stands here, is the head of their house, is the head of this house, is the head of... When children look at him, they look at him with a little bit of fear. If somebody wants to take them on, they have, should I do this? Because, come on. We're talking about your father. That was a picture of your father, right? How many times did you argue with him? Take him on. So if there's a father in the house, there should be a little bit of hesitancy when I decide to set him straight. Because I might not have as many teeth as when I got there. I remember one time I even to my mother. She's about this tall. And when I was born, she probably weighed 98 pounds. And I was 16 years old and feeling all of my testosterone. And I was looking down on her. She gave me an order, and she fussed at me, and I said, great big talk, little bitty woman. My dad walked up and said, what she lacks in size, she gains in authority. You understand? It doesn't make any difference who you are, what you call yourself. It's where do you walk. The authority she had was she was my mother. She had done the work. She had loved me. She had cared for me. And my dad was reminding me, and you don't forget it. And I always remembered that statement. Listen, I'm talking to a small group. I'm talking to possibly a whole room full of fathers. I don't care. Mothers, fathers. Number one, the Bible says, honor your father. Honor your father. We make great and truthful speeches that we are to worship, and we are to worship in every moment of every day in thought, word, and deed. And yet when we get together, we don't honor each other. We just open our mouth and let things fly. And we don't think, listen, you have a problem. I want to honor you. I'm going to give you a moment. I don't say this out loud. I look at you and say, I'm going to listen. I know what you're doing is wrong. I know it. God knows it. The whole church knows it. Now, what do I do about it? Now you've got honor. How can I help? Bill Backus called this morning and he said, my car won't start. Something's wrong. I said, okay, I'll come over. He said, you can't come across all the way across town to do that. So, yes, I can. But I see you have another plan. I didn't see, I heard it. I said, he said, I'm going to go over and have it analyzed. I said, after you've done that, let me know what happens. Somebody will come to your aid. Now, am I speaking out of turn? Somebody will come to his aid? Or we remember his mistakes? Jesus came to our aid, and we were the only ones that had made the mistakes. Now he said, take up your cross and follow me. What do you think? I want to go in my truck and drive all the way across town and possibly get dirty for somebody that's probably not going to appreciate it like they should? Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. Grumble? Oh, it's all right, a little bit. Grumble a little bit. On your way. Shut up when you get there. Act like you're excited to help. Even if it's not real, act like it. Just do it. You can see what was my heart this morning when I spoke to you about art. She said, Art was too sleepy to come this morning. I said, well, the next time he calls me, I'm going to tell him, I'm a little sleepy, I can't help you. What did I just do? I jabbed back. I probably shouldn't have, but that's human nature. I want Art to understand that he owes me as much as I owe him. What is that? Everything. Well, I'm too sleepy today. Go anyway. Maybe that's what scared him. Maybe that's what scared him. I want this church to follow this. This is it. Somebody out there needs you as bad as she needed her with this church when she walked in looking for sanity. She's still a little bit insane. Yeah. Not me, just you. And so I still need to give her sanity. What's anybody else's need? Shall we go around it? Right now, Marie needs to be built up in faith. When you be a faith church, speak in faith all the time. Blah, 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 blah. Don't, no other solutions. You don't speak any other solution except the perfect one. The perfect one. There's only one good answer. It isn't a name, unless it's a name above the name that people want to give you. I'm going to, I think, open this up and try to get to a message. Have you got that little message? Can't find it, it's okay. I know. I have a little mechanical ability. By the way, while she's looking for that, I want to remind you of something. Okay. You got it? Put it right there. You'll have to do that again. You're operating. Is this working? All right. Put the volume on it for this thing. She can't find the microphone. It's the one that goes to your ear. Yeah. We tried. That's a whole bunch of brats singing to me Happy Father's Day, and they're not my children. They're my grandchildren. So fatherhood doesn't stop in one generation. That's seven of them, by the way. Probably in one car on the way to church. Because their mother is taking them to church. That's lineage. That's what we need in the church. We need lineage. We need authority. We need genuineness. We need to be able to show love. How many of you think I'm the greatest shower of love? She said yes. I guarantee. Well, you'd be lying because I'm not. I am commanded to make one person know who I really am, and that's her. The rest of the people, they're supposed to write a song about me. Probably right after they get mad at me. Right? So we need a legacy in the church. The Father creates a legacy, a lineage and a legacy. Because of the honesty, because of the transparency, I promise you one thing. I'm not going to tell you scripture on this, but one of the requirements of an elder, a presbyter, a pastor, an apostle, any leadership in the church, you must be known at home the same as you are in the church. Not one shred of bit of difference. You can't have people at work talking about how big a scoundrel you are while you're praising your own self in church. That's a requirement. The legacy, the lineage, transparency, the quality of the love. This is the job of the fatherhood in the church. When I started this, when God asked me to father a church, the one thing I was asked is, what are you going to do? I don't know. If Bill was here, he heard the answer to that. I don't know who else was here. But I said, I know 10,000 things not to do. I don't know anything to do. And that's been the history that I walked through as a young man with my father, in church especially, taught me 10,000 things not to do. There is no formula for what to do. You just do what God tells you to do. I want to give you, for note takers, I think I do. Oh, I was going to show you something. I showed this to Donna. Since it's Father's Day, I can get by with rambling, can't I? This is, you know what this is? Any of y'all recognize this? Hmm? You know what it is. You've seen it before. In pretty good shape. How many years ago?
More than five. That was when we were still in the church over on
Jewel. Now, this has always been important to me. I still cherish it. It's still in good shape. It stays flat in my Bible all the time. By the way, how much did this cost? The paper was free. The ribbon's probably, whatever the ribbon cost. And running it through a printer and paper cutter. I doubt if it's 10 cents. And yet, this is important to me. It's the smaller things that will come out of this church that become important. It's not the big things. There's very few of us that have great big things in our life. Well, I remember when the church gave me $10,000 worth of trip. No, what I remember every time when I'm in that church down there and I look at this, I go, oh yeah, I remember that. It's important. The little things are important. If somebody needs a hug, give them one. It don't have to be big. It don't have to be full frontal, and y'all don't have to belly dance. A little hug is worth a fortune. Right? A little arm around the shoulder, a little whatever it takes. Okay, I'm going to give you three ways that you can make sure you get defeated. Y'all want to know that, right? Three ways to assure defeat. And out of every negative comes a positive. Father, this is your word. This is your time. This is your will. Do it in Jesus' name. Save, deliver, heal. Nobody will leave you the same. In Jesus' name. Luke 1:10. Patrick, can you bring that up or do I need to just move on? Luke 1:10. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Angel of the Lord appeared and said, you will call his name John. Three things that assure defeat. The angel, I go back up to verse 10. I'm sorry, 11. I gave you, it's 11 through 13, not 10 through 13. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right-hand side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, how many of you would say that when an angel of the Lord appears here, you'll be afraid? So if something that was very, very the will of God and positive caused fear. And we know what fear does, right? So let's look at it again. When he saw him, here's your first sure method of being defeated, is to see something. I'll get there. You'll get it in a minute. When he saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. If you're seeing things, number one, sure way to be defeated, that are troubling you. Number two, the sure way of being defeated, worry, be troubled. The minute you know that fear, number three, is on you, you're defeated. In that order. Most of the times, we become afraid of what we see. We become worried about what we see, right? So our eyes are desperately wicked. The heart is desperately wicked. Eyes are not our spirit. You can call the eyes the spirit of man. And it's easy. You can take a lightning bug on the end of a stick and run a man out of the country. So you see something, it can trouble you. Number two, if you are troubled by what you see, those are the first two steps. They come fast. That's a setup for fear, which will assure defeat. What's going to cause you to fear is to see and to linger. All right, let's read some more. Let's look at some more. When you see something, that means to observe, to look, or stare at something. In other words, fix your focus on a problem. It means to sit there and consider, to think about what you saw. And the more you look at it, the more it becomes real. The more you think about it, the more it becomes real. What you meditate on becomes real. The Bible says you're supposed to meditate on these things, not on what you saw. David saw a giant. He didn't let him make it afraid. Why didn't David get afraid when he looked at a giant? He didn't look at him as a giant. I'll tell you what he looked at him as. The very next verse says, I remember the lion and the bear. So when he had an opportunity to stare or be afraid or troubled, he looked at something else. He looked at the past, which was the lion and the bear. So he defeated, let me tell you something. Before he threw the stone, he defeated the giant by words. All right? He became worried or troubled. That means there's something in your spirit that's no longer peaceful. Agitated. When you're agitated, by the way, this is for everybody that decides to get hurt once in a while. When you're agitated, nothing can go right. God himself could come and put his hand on your head and you're still upset. You've got to calm yourself. You've got to be peaceful. Troubled also means the picture that you thought you saw becomes real. It becomes dominant. If you look at Jesus Christ as one that brings peace and you allow the agitation to continue, the agitation becomes more dominant than the name of Jesus. It's a simple formula. There's nothing complicated about this. Then, all right, we've looked at it long enough. We've worried about it long enough. Now we're fearful. The doctor said I had cancer. The doctor said I had cancer. The doctor said I had cancer. And you've not yet once said you don't have cancer. I've shared you this before. It works. When the doctor walked into me and said, your back is broken, I said, no, it isn't. She said, yes, it is. I said, no, it isn't. She said, I saw it on the x-ray. I said, I don't care what you saw. See, what she saw made her fearful. I said, it is not broken. She said, I'm tired of arguing with you. This was late at night after a traffic accident. She said, I'll be back in the morning to talk to you. That just puts me off. Guess what I said the next morning? But guess what she said? No, she didn't. She went and looked at the x-ray. And the x-ray was healed. The circle that was there was no longer a break. She said, I don't know what happened. I can't understand this, but your back's not broken. What'd I tell you? She was surprised. I wasn't. Because my faith is in what I know, not what I see. And by the way, at that time, what I feel. Because her next statement was, I'll give you your pants and you try to get out of this hospital and you won't be able to get up. I said, give me my pants. Let's see if you're right. I got up and left. That's called tougher than the enemy. All right. For some of you that right now are thinking I'm crazy, I am. But I don't have a broken back. Look at Luke 1:26 if you can. Luke 1:26. Did the church and the leadership get what I first said, that when people come here, they need to feel safe all the time? Did y'all get that? Because I need to say it again if I didn't. All the time, safe, secure. This is the safest place in Denver. The church needs to get that in mind. The leadership needs to know that and need to keep it that way, because there will things come that will try to steal that. Okay. Luke 1:26-30. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to read in the New King James. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw, are we there? When she saw, guess what happened to her? She was troubled. And at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because he knew he would lose her if she became afraid. "Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You get this? The first words that came out, she wasn't afraid. But when she saw, will you listen to me? Your eyes are your worst enemy. Don't believe your lying eyes. Second are your ears while you're looking at the liar. All right? Anything that puts itself up against or in opposite direction of the Word of God, the Bible says, let every man be a liar. Are you willing to say to every man you're a liar if it's against what God wants for you? Now, I have heard 10 million times that the world is imploding. Economy's going away. The glaciers are going to melt and we're going to drown. You guys are going to have lakefront property. The ice caps are going to melt. The whole world's going to go away. Everything's going to die. You're going to sweat to death. Man, I'm glad we had global warming, because last winter I nearly froze. If we hadn't had warming, we'd have froze to death. Coldest winter I've ever seen at where I lived. When she saw him, she was troubled and considered. It's the same thing, but listen to me. It's three things. Don't even consider. The third being the only thing different here. Don't even consider. I did not have to think about where I had a broken back or not, Bob. When that lady looked at me, and she was the doctor. Oh, she went to school for 8 years. I don't care. I had a supreme physician. When she looked at me and said, "Your back is broke," look, I've got two choices. One, I can believe her, or the other, I can believe God. Now, I'm one of those black and white people. I don't have to think about this too long. Every man's a liar. You mean even the educated one? Yes. Yes. I'm a little dope arguing against the doctor. I won. And the price that Jesus paid, the bruises and the stripes, he got a dividend. Don't consider anything else. Her consideration was this: I've never heard anybody speak like this before. Did you know that, I said it before, an angel can appear here and give you the best word you've ever heard. And if all you're thinking about is what that angel looks like or sounds like, you won't get it. Don't even consider what you see. The angel was smart. He knew what was happening there, so he just said, "Don't be afraid." How to win. Acts 2:42. How many of you think I'm sold on healing? Have I established it as doctrine in this church? You know why I'm sold on it? Because Jesus was sold on it. Nearly every person he ministered to, he healed them before he saved them. So the precedence is there. He doesn't want a bunch of weak, sick, beat up Christians. He wants to heal you and then save you, so you can get going and minister. Acts 42. Did I say 20? Okay, Acts 2:42. This is how you overcome. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now listen, what we see here is that through fellowship, through staying steady, you make the enemy afraid. And when the enemy's afraid, you got him on the run, there can be many miracles come out of this church. But if you are afraid, the enemy's not afraid, and you're not going to run him off. If you don't think you have, if you don't think you have an enemy, get your burial things done quickly. Because his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. And my Savior's job is to give life, and that more abundantly. That's the black and white. Number one, we got to stay steady in our beliefs, which means you're not supposed to worry. You cannot have faith and worry at the same time. You've got to have more faith in God than what you see or feel. Did I say that slow enough? God has to be more real than your very feelings, what you can see. You've got to continue to pray and minister. You've got to fellowship with believers. If I were to ask, and I would tell you, listen, don't count this, but I won't. Don't count your little parties, your annual, or your monthly parties, or whatever. Don't count this. How many times do you guys visit each other? That's what I thought. That's too long. You've got to be willing to give of yourself. Or if you don't think you're anybody, then don't worry about going visiting anybody, because evidently you don't have anything to give. Or if you don't think you're worth visiting, then I shouldn't hang around you. Yesterday, kind of relaxing about business, I walked outside the trailer, and Michael was sitting on the porch. And I heard, go visit with him. No. Trailer's cool. He's sitting out in the hot. He's quiet. He looks like he's peaceful. I don't bring peace. That's what the enemy says to everybody. I did that 3 times, and finally God said, I said go visit. Okay, I go. I wasted I don't know how many hours of his day yesterday. Even her, can you believe how long, told her, how long he sat up and talked to you? Does that surprise you that I could talk? Michael's a good guy. He's worth listening to, worth being around. The other thing that's very important to you is do not seek other consolation. If I have a problem, I need to go to somebody that believes that we can get by the problem. This is the most popular foolish thing that church people do. When you get together, don't tell me about your problem. Don't tell me about your sickness unless it's once, and get on. Let's pray about it and move. You know what's going to happen if we sit there and you get to tell me about how many times you get sick a week? You're going to make me sick. Jesus didn't come to heal anybody, to listen to them talk about their sickness. He came to deliver. Are you in his image and likeness? Michael, don't tell me about your problems. I'm going to tell you about the solution. See, because when you tell people, listen, let's get honest for a minute. When you have a problem, there's very few people that are interested. Now, I'm not telling you that. I want to be interested. But I want you to listen to me as soon as you get through. You wouldn't tell me about your problem, but you listen. You honor me. You respect me. I've respected and honored you. Now, you listen to what I've got to say. The other day, we were, Bob and Karen had taken us up to Black Hawk, and we sat down and gorged. Patrick and Donna gorged. Donna did a better job than Connie. But she ate a ton of crab and shrimp. And we've done this before. It's not unusual. But we went on up the street, and she started itching. You're itching. But she was itching. And she evidently got worried enough to where she went and looked at herself, and she was had a rash all over. And her feet were itching. And I'm not, my bedside manner is not great. She held her, I held like I wanted to hold her hand. I fooled her. And I looked at her hand, it was just as red as you couldn't believe how red it was. So I just took it. I didn't say, oh my God, you're dying. Am I listening to people that are interested in ministry? A minister never says, oh, you're dying. Oh, I can't believe you're so sick. Oh, like I'm already afraid. I looked at her hand, it was red, okay. We just walked down the street. Unbeknownst to her, I took dominion. This is not the answer. This is only a threat. Body come in alignment with the Word of God. It didn't take more than 10 seconds. I didn't have to chant and rave and rant and call 15 people for agreement, although I did call Patrick and Donna. They were still handy, but I couldn't get a hold of them, so we were by ourselves. They were worrying about me by being in the swimming pool. Guess what happened? That went away very, very quickly. And Bob and Karen said, let's go get some Benadryl. Okay, let's go get Benadryl. By the time she took the Benadryl, most of this was already gone. I give no credit to chemical. Now, is this a safe place? Do you understand what I'm getting to now? If there, you have a problem, if you have a sickness, you have disease, if you have a financial problem, you get with the people you trust. Who do you trust? People that won't feel sorry for you. They'll take action. The next day, I think it was the next day, we're sitting out under the awning. My wife and I, and Patrick looks out, and he goes back in, and here comes Donna drunk. That's what it looked like. It was too early to be drunk. She hadn't imbibed, but she didn't have her balance. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. And when they walked out there, Patrick said, we need some prayer here. And something happened to me different than happened to her. I got quiet, looked down at the ground for a little bit, and God dealt with me. And so I stood up, and I began to pray. It was a great prayer. My goodness, it was a good prayer. I got ministered to. I'm not too sure I didn't get healed in the process. But the crux of the prayer, the basis of the prayer was this. Her body is trying to do something that's illegal. That's number one. Number two, the enemy only comes for a purpose, and that's to kill you. If you listen to this, hear this, and this alone today, you'll come out ahead. There is no attack that ever comes on you that the end results is not wanted to be death. The devil doesn't want to play with you. He wants to kill you. And if you will accept a weakness, he has one foot in the door to killing you. So I said, this is an attack unto death. That's the goal of the enemy. And we rebuke that. We come against it. Body, stop doing what you want to do, and you do what God, the Word of God, commands you to be. Now, she tried to walk away, not quite healed, but I already knew she was. And it wasn't long she had to prove it. She got on the move. How many times a day do you get an attack? Every second of every day. How many times do you have to overcome? If you stop to look at it, think about it, meditate on it, consider it, let fear begin, you've already taken five wrong steps. If you'll instant, and this is a promise that God has given me here this week, I will do it quickly. It seems like in my life, God's done everything slowly. Not anymore. I just have, who was the other one? There was a third one. There's another one. Yesterday, it was me. I got, by the way, when I left you guys breakfast, your company, your fellowship, the enemy attacked. I thought I'd gotten food poisoning. I got sick. Oh, quickly. So quickly, I said, I don't feel good. She came over and said, boogity boogity. I don't have to quote her prayer. You know what she said. She told me to get well in Jesus' name. That's how simple praying is. And I got well. I had a peanut butter banana sandwich the evening. If I'd have been sick, I wouldn't eaten that. I didn't sit there and worry about it, think about it, say, this is a good time for me to enjoy the sickness and stay in the house. By the way, men, women, I remember many years ago when God revealed to me that I would like to get sick because I was working so hard and needed some time off. So I enjoyed the sickness. It's a dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. Playing with fire. God said, if you want time off, you take time off. But don't you ask me to let you be sick. Come on, that's nearly a good time to say amen. How about Luke 8:49? I won't do this to you, but I could pull a trick on you. I could say that I can go an hour longer because of the time change, but for us. Luke 8:49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Y'all remember this story? Your daughter is dead. Don't even bother, teacher. Don't even bother Jesus. Don't even talk to somebody that you can trust. That'd sound like the enemy, wouldn't it? Well, come on now. Well, there's been many a time when we get sick, we call 911 quicker than we call Jesus. Or Psalms 91:1. But when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, do not be afraid. I wonder about every situation that we ask God about, if we just hear him say, don't be afraid. Because that seems to be only one of two answers. Oh, you little faith, or don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. Okay, let's cover one thing right now. Whatever, there's nothing that God has asked you to do that makes any sense. Here's the example. She's already dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid. You just believe right. She's alive. That's his answer to every problem. You don't make the final decision where the end of the problem is. You just believe. It doesn't make any difference how many mistakes, how you screwed up. That doesn't make any difference. God will always tell you, don't succumb to what you see. Only believe. And you will be made well. Luke 1:59 through 65. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they, now remember this? This is, never mind. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. This is the child we referred to in the first scripture, remember? The angel of the Lord said, you call his name John. That was illegal. That was not the way they did things. He's supposed to be called Zacharias according to his father's name. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John, because his mother remembered something that his father forgot. The angel of the Lord. That's the one that scared her, remember? But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. 62. So they made signs to his father what he should have called him. And asked for a writing tablet and wrote saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. The father finally got to his senses and wrote down his name. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote down saying, his name is John. And they all said, you're crazy. By the way, the world's answer to faith is you're crazy. If you don't have somebody calling you crazy right now, you're not operating in faith. Let me say it another way. If somebody doesn't hate you, you're not living for Jesus. they're always wrong. God's always right. That's what you first learn about fathers, unfortunately. They're always right, you're always wrong. See, I'm old enough now, I don't have to worry about that. My dad's gone, not here. He's not here to argue with me. But he set the example. By the way, you guys know why I'm so strong in faith? Huh? Because when my dad was sick, he had some basic, some terminal problems. He went to a meeting, a T.L. Osborne meeting. And T.L. Osborne taught healing. And while he couldn't sit because of some problems he was having, he became very uncomfortable in his internal organs. So he had me in his arms walking and listening and being washed with the word. And all of a sudden he was healed. And I was in his arms. You talking about lineage? Somebody needs to be healed that you were holding. You were helping. You were encouraging. You were touching them with faith. Somebody can be healed. Now listen, I don't even know how you get somebody saved if you don't have faith for healing. Because the most ridiculous teaching you ever heard in your life was being born again. That's crazier than healing. But you'll receive born again, but will resist healing when Jesus accomplished the healing before he accomplished your salvation. You got it? So it's very, very easy for me to still be in the arms of healing. I want it to be easy for you. I wanted you to pass it on. When they proclaimed what the angel told them to do, his name is John, verse 64. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke praising God. Guess where praise comes from? Obedience. See that the curtain was torn in two. And the Holy of Holies said, come on in. And if I haven't been praising and thanking, I won't go in. I won't. I can, but I will not go in. Because I don't feel right. I don't feel like I'm worthy. But if I've praised Him, I've worshipped Him, I've honored Him, I go in. Verse 65, then fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all those sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. Now, there's going to be, you want this place recognized? Be something that doesn't look like the world. Don't talk like them. Don't see like them. Don't worry like them. Don't be afraid like them. Proclaim like Jesus did. In Genesis, God Himself put His mouth on your mouth, breathed into you His very breath. The breath that had just recreated the whole world, He put into you. And He's not taking it back until it's time. The enemy's job is to tell you that it's time. It's God's job to keep His breath in you until He takes it back. And then I go with it. Now, if I've been given dominion, if old Gene over here just rags me out all the time, then I can do one of two things. I can say, I still have dominion. Or I can say, you've taken dominion. You've just ragged me out. Do you have dominion? Or did just the least little thing trip your trigger? The sickness comes along. Bounce along. Say, I've got something that you deserve because the world says you deserve it. How many years have you lived? Oh, that's too many. You got breast cancer. The TV tells you that all the time. What's your job? You take the breath that God gave you and call Him a liar. There's no truth in Him, so you can't talk truth to me. When we walked up to church here today, there was a bum out here on the porch. And could he quote Scripture? Could he quote Scripture? Where'd you come from? Oh, California. Where are you going? Gravette, Arkansas. Why? Well, there's a minister there. Well, there is. And he's well studied. I said, the man's going to take you apart. I know him. I've heard him. I know what he believes. He's not going to be as gentle as Bob has been, as gentle as I've been. He's not going to do that. You're going to quote scripture to him, and you're going to quote it out of context, and he's going to know it. You know what he was doing? Hiding. I'm going to ask you the question that I ask him. Do you think you need to get better? Does anybody in this room don't think they need to get better? Well, I know God wants that for you. So why are you staying the same? Why do you think you stink, your clothes are filthy, and you're quoting scripture? None of it's getting in. I told him the devil knows the word better than you do. But you're not getting better. My mom says I live like an animal. Can you? How would you like your mom to walk up to you and say, you're living like an animal? How many times does the Father speak to us and say, you're living way below the standard? You're looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at. You're perceiving, considering things you shouldn't be. I've given you life. I've given you that abundantly. I give you riches that are according to my riches. I give you health that I paid for. I give you salvation that you didn't deserve and you didn't work for. I give you dreams that are far beyond anything that you can think or ask. And you're living like an animal. What's an animal? Well, I die at the world's whim. How many Christians are walking today that the minute somebody says, well, you could get swine flu, they get it. So they run to the doctor and they get a shot. And oh my goodness, we didn't give the right shot for the new flu. You already got the shot, guys. You already got the shot. You got the blood of Jesus Christ. You got his bruises, his stripes. The minute John's father decided he would obey God. Now, John had already done wrong, so let's get this straight. You don't have to be perfect to get the Word of God in your life. He'd already basically what we'd call sinned against God. But he made the right decision. He changed. And his mouth flew open, and he began to praise. So we need to be a house of praise, not because it's an obligation. We need to be a house of praise because this last week we have conquered. And God, I know you're the one that paid it. You did it. And I know next week I'm going to be more than a conqueror. And I promise to you, I won't fail like I did last week. And God says, that's what I wanted to hear. Let's go. He never says, yeah, but you've been bad. You didn't call. You called the wrong person. You said the wrong thing. See, remember this. Jesus doesn't look backwards. He doesn't even know what happened backwards. And I know that's hard for us finite beings to understand. But his future for you is based on your last word. His future for you is based on your last word. There's a message floating out there somewhere that says the last word wins. I did it. That's why I know it's out there. Whatever you say last is where you will be. Your circumstances do not control you. You control your circumstances by what your last word was. I think I've just about tired you out. Or you can stand up, shuffle your feet. We'll start over. The last word here on my paper is this. Your decision decides your outcome. You've heard me speak today. You've heard God speak to you. You've heard the Word of God speak to you. Now you have to make a decision on it. You have to determine that I'm a kook, or I've talked against you, or I've said something I shouldn't say, or you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I say, thank you, Lord. Now, if I have spoken any condemnation, I'm sorry. Forgive me. If I've spoken any conviction, you be sorry and take advantage of it. It's an opportunity for God to heal if there's any conviction at all. Never look down on conviction. Say, praise God for that. Is there anyone here that needs prayer for anything? I don't care what it is. Bob spoke Wednesday night. If we don't if we don't meet needs as a ministry, we shouldn't be opening our doors. Harry, you're just like me. You always have a need. Harry's an elder in this house. Now what? Anybody in here ever failed? The greatest thing, Harry, if we can, and Marie, if we could ever get a hold of this, is that it took us failing to get him interested. And when he said, you know, when he saw us fail, he said, there's two of my kids that need me badly. He did not say, I am so sick of those, I'm letting them go. So he runs to that need. Amen? Harry, there's too many people out there waiting on you. You have always been a minister for God. And one little mistake, whatever that is, who cares, cannot take away the value that you've been to the kingdom. Marie, you the same way. They cannot take away the value you've been to this kingdom. Don't, right here at the last, give up. God hasn't given up on anybody. This church needs you too. And the enemy is trying to tell you, Marie, that you've blown it so bad you can't be of any use. And he's trying to tell Harry that because of this major mistake, he can't go forward. And I can't figure out what the mistake is. They're just human. I will remind you of the story that I just read, where John heard the angel and he forgot. Harry, an angel visited him and said, God says, name this child John. And he considered naming him something else. And God did not write him off. He said, finally said, okay, so my suggestion is you're a screw up. Okay. I'm a screw up. Okay. Praise God for the screw up, because it values my salvation. It puts a value on my salvation. If I didn't ever screw up, I could never be forgiven. And if I never felt forgiven, I could never teach others forgiveness. Right? I'll look at you two both, and I'll say this while everybody's listening. I'll say it again, but one of the best statements I've ever heard. The Father paid Jesus for you and thought he got a good deal. You quit going against what he thinks. The enemy says, bad deal, bad deal. And God the Father says, good deal, good deal. Choose you this day whom you're going to believe. I'm going to relate a story to you that I related to Harry, and I think he's forgotten it already, because he's feeling guilty about calling 911. Well, that isn't the only phone call he made that day, is it? You made one to God. I know you did. When I was about 16, a fire blew me up, and I was burned terribly. By the way, Harry, I didn't tell you all that story. I was burned terribly because of my father. I went in his office and told him there was a propane leak out there. And he went out, because he'd had so much experience, he went out there and he took a screwdriver and he hit that valve. And I said, oh, Dad, don't do that. Don't do that. And he did it anyway. And that valve blew straight out. Now, that's a pressurized propane tank with no restriction. And it didn't take long for that propane to reach. He left. He walked out of the garage, got out of the way. I'm still out there trying to do what he told me to do. And he blew me up. Should he feel guilty? Double on that. When he saw me terribly burned, he took me to the hospital. Did he fail? Our answer is maybe, twice failed. But when the doctor came and said, that boy's going to die, Dad said, no way. And when the doctor said, and when the enemy was saying, you failed and caused this, the doctor's saying, well, we're going to have to give him a trach, and he's going to be here 10 weeks the first time, and then week after week with multiple operations and multiple grafts. Dad said, no way, no way, no way. Now look, Harry, I'm healed right now. Why? From his mistake. If taking me to the hospital was the mistake, then I'm here because of the mistake. Not because of the doctors, because he corrected the mistake and generated the healing. In my condition, I didn't have enough faith to fight. Come on, Harry, listen. Listen to what God's telling you. It's the faith that God wants you to have, even after the mistakes. Even after the mistakes, it's the faith that's going to cause the victory. And the obviousness of this whole thing is that it was my sin caused my salvation. Is that right? I couldn't have gotten salvation without sin. So we always look at sin and the mistakes being so bad. Hey, it brought me to Jesus. Do you think that God knows you love Marie? I know that. I know God knows it. So he didn't see the mistake. He doesn't. You were just fighting for Marie, no matter what. You were fighting for her. Now, the truth has been laid out. You guys need to pray that the truth will set him free, because the enemy's got him under bondage. Just lay your hands on him there and encourage him. Love on him. He's of value to God. Amen.
No mistake.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
There's one thing I do. I forget that which is
Amen.
And I press
Hallelujah.
On
Hallelujah.
No mistake. Just
I guarantee you, on the way to the hospital, you were praying. So why don't we look at what you did right instead of what you did wrong, if there is any wrong. I don't consider there to be any wrong. But you do, so all right. Why don't you just look at what God believes in more than what you believe in? And I'm going to promise you this, from what you did, she's healed anyway. Because not only did you pray, you enlisted others. And Harry, I'll tell you this too. If this were a fatal mistake, a spiritually fatal mistake, God would have never healed your cancer and let you live this long. He'd have just ended it there while you were still hadn't made this mistake. So he doesn't see this as a mistake, or he wouldn't have put up with this much. He wouldn't have waited for you to make the mistake. I pray that about myself. I'd rather die than make a severe mistake with God. So I'm still here. And why would he heal Marie multiple times for you to fail? Your judgment's wrong in that area. Let's just get straight. You judge yourself to be wrong, and you're wrong because you judge yourself to be wrong. You were right. You were right. You're still right. You're in Christ Jesus, therefore you're right. That's what the Scripture says. It uses righteousness of Christ, of Jesus. But you are in Him, and He's righteous. And you're going to keep on being for her. She don't need you to check out spiritually right now. She needs you to stand up and say, "Fooey with you, devil." More than that, devil, go to hell. Oh, isn't that great, Harry? Isn't that great? Now here, I'm going to take this off of my keychain. I have another one. So I'm going to want you to put this on yours, because this is your declaration. When the enemy is trying to tell you that you're not, this is what you are. You're a man of God. And every time you put that on your truck, so that every time you look at that, you already know the enemy's going to tell you you're not. You look at that, and there's the word of the Lord. It comes from Isaiah. You are a man of God. Why do you think I have it on mine? Anybody else? Harry probably needs to pray for somebody. Anybody? You okay? You do need patience, and you and I agreed we both needed patience. That is one of our weaknesses. Well, I don't know where you came from. I don't know where you're going. I know where I'm going in about a week. But I appreciate you coming and putting up with me. And I'm going to say this over you, that because you have come, and because the Word of God has penetrated you, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. You're understanding it better. Those things that have been bothering you, you have now more information to defeat than you've ever had. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. You will be. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Man, we got something to praise about. There's a man that knows Jesus Christ is his Savior.
Before you walked in this house this morning, we prayed, confessed in prayer, that someone would leave this house completely changed.